Today, only property price corrections can help affordability. Hello again, it's Martin North from Digital Finance Analytics. Welcome to the list post covering finance and property news with a distinctively Australian flavour. Well, we're now at the end game of a massive experiment which has clearly failed. That experiment, cooked up by central banks and with support from governments, meant that interest rates and mortgage rates dropped, lending criteria were loosened, and home prices shot up dramatically. The final phase of the up was through COVID, when quantitative easing again drove debt higher, whilst luring households into a false sense of security. Remember, no rate rises till 2024. But now, it's all coming unglued as rates are rising and the debt burden is becoming overbearing. Take Canada, for example, based on a recent RBC report. They say that skyrocketing home prices earlier in the pandemic raised the bar by several notches for Canadian buyers, but the spike in interest rates since March served a crushing blow in parts of the country. To qualify for a mortgage on the purchase of a typical home at the benchmark price in Vancouver area, a buyer needed to earn a minimum of $200,000 annually in the third quarter of 2021. A year later, the qualifying income had soared up 34% to an astonishing $268,000. In the Toronto area, it was $240,000, 29% up. What was already a very tough hurdle to clear is now nearly impossible for many potential purchasers. No wonder home buyer demand has plummeted since the Bank of Canada initiated its rate hike campaign. The more challenging conditions aren't limited to Canada's most expensive markets, though. Higher mortgage rates require deeper pockets from coast to coast. It's a fact buyers in Halifax and St. John who have faced the biggest increases in the minimum qualifying income in the past year, up 44 and 41% respectively, though the required amount in St. John at $74,000 is still the lowest among the markets that they track. To qualify for a home valued at the benchmark price, buyers in Victoria who need at least $216,000 to qualify, Vancouver $268,000, Calgary $123,000, Toronto $240,000, Ottawa $149,000, Montreal $127,000, and Halifax $116,000 must all have six-figure pre-tax income. Those levels widely exceeded the respective median household incomes, which ranges from $74,000 in Montreal to $92,000 in Calgary. In other words, it's Canadians in the upper income echelons who can afford an average home in those markets, especially so in Vancouver, Toronto, and Victoria. It's never been so unaffordable to buy a home in Canada. Further, interest rate increases propelled RBC's aggregate measure to yet new record highs nationally and in Victoria, Vancouver, Toronto, Ottawa and Halifax in the third quarter. An increase in the measure represents a loss of affordability. Montreal's measure is rapidly approaching that mark too. The situation isn't as grim in other markets, though affordability levels now look more stretched than usual in all but one market in Edmonton. The national aggregate measure rose in the past 8 quarters. The massive erosion of affordability has kept Canada's housing market on a major correction course since the spring. Home resales have plummeted 36% nationwide, more in BC, down 43%, and Ontario, down 41%, reaching levels far below those that prevailed before the pandemic. The pace of decline has eased in recent months, though, and falling prices also appear to be slowing, they said. These may be early signs the correction is approaching its final stage, but headwinds still remain stiff in the near term. Affordability issues aren't likely to reverse quickly. It will take more time for the market to absorb the rise in mortgage rates. So they expect the market to bottom out around next spring in the Northern Hemisphere. The market correction's silver lining is it's setting the stage for some affordability improvement in the year ahead, they said. They expect the national benchmark price to fall 14% from its early 2022 peak, providing significant scope for lower ownership costs once interest rates stabilize. And they think that this could start at the early part of 2023, though the timing is poised to vary by market. Growing household income will partially drive the improvement process, and it will likely take years, though, to fully reverse the tremendous deterioration that took place since 2021. So the point here is that the structural issues that were created over the last decade or two are now playing out. Same in Australia, of course, where affordability is, again, off the scale. And with interest rates rising, the borrowing power is being reduced significantly. But whether things will turn around soon is a big question mark. In my mind, there is still a significant downside risk to property pricing, both in Canada and in Australia. But it is those people who got those mortgages and bought those houses at the top of the market that are the ones that I am most concerned about. Because, of course, now their financial footprint has reversed dramatically. Cost of living rising, incomes hardly rising at all, but the mortgage repayments going through the roof, literally. Now, this is going to play out not over the next few months, but over the next 2 to 3 years. And it's worth remembering, of course, that the typical foreclosure process can take up to 3 years to see through. So we should expect many more people getting into more difficulty ahead. And of course, interest rate rises are still, well, possibly going to go higher in the months ahead, especially in Australia, who has been slow to the party. So the housing affordability problem has been created by bad policy. The housing market is now collapsing thanks to the results of that bad policy. And so this massive experiment over the last few years is now playing to its end game. Unfortunately, there will be individual households who are going to be caught in the downturn and the property price falls. But of course, there's a bigger question about the structural security of the banking system, insofar that so much of the banking system is highly leveraged into property. And if values fall and if delinquencies rise, that's going to put pressure on the banks too. So the question is, at what point will central banks and government then come back and try and turn the ship around again and force another run-up in prices to try and alleviate the situation? That now is the biggest risk, but also the biggest question. We don't know yet, but it's likely to happen at some point. Now, if you're buying your home in Sydney's contentious market, you don't need to stand alone. This is the time you need to have Edwin Almeida from Ribbon Property Consultants standing alongside you. Buying a property is both challenging and adversarial. The vendor has a professional on their side. Emotions run high, price discovery and price transparency are hard to find, and then there's the wasted time and financial investments that you make. Edwin understands your needs, so why not engage a licensed professional to stand alongside you? With RPC, you know you have experience, knowledge, and master negotiators looking after your best interests. So shoot Ribbon an email at info@ribbonproperty.com.au. And if you use the promo code DFAWTW/Martin, you can get a 10% discount offer. I'm Martin North from Digital Finance Analytics. Many thanks for watching, and I'll see you again next time.